since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
A very busy couple of days in the world of college football, and I'll tell you, it's actually been a very busy day today in the world of college football. If you are not a fan of one of the eight remaining teams vying for the national championship in the second year of the 12-team playoff, I still think there's plenty of storylines to keep you interested in college football, including the longest intersectional rivalry in the history of the sport, going on hiatus for at least 4 years. It was announced today that Notre Dame and USC will not be playing next season. They hope to get it going again in 2030. What does that mean for the state of Utah? Well, I don't think it's all bad because BYU and Notre Dame have signed an agreement to play the next two seasons. Next year, they will be in Provo. The year after that, they will be in South Bend. We're going to talk about that and dig a little bit deeper into it because I believe it's a college football problem at this stage. Not a Notre Dame-USC problem. It's a college football program. Joining me right now, one of the biggest USC fans I know. He's an alum at USC. We have my great friend Steve Bordstein. Steve, always a pleasure to get you on the show.
Yeah, fight on. Just not against the ones we're used to fighting on against, I guess. But pleasure to be on with you this afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, in the world of college football, it's always an us versus them world. If you get on social media right now, USC fans blaming Notre Dame fans blaming USC. I think you have to look at this particular situation from an unbiased and realistic standpoint. If you look at the negotiations, Notre Dame wanted to continue to play this game middle of the season in South Bend, end of the year at Southern California. That's the way they wanted it done. USC, on the flip side, looks at this and says, no, if we're going to continue to play, it has to be at the beginning of the season. So you can look at this and say it's Notre Dame's fault for not budging. You can look at it and say, well, it's USC's fault for not sticking to tradition. But the fact of the matter is, Steve, the most realistic point of view on this is the world of college football that we live in today, where both sides are simply looking out for their own interest. It makes more sense for USC to want this game at the beginning of the season, while Notre Dame doesn't want to join a conference. It makes perfect sense for them to have a statement game to close out the year. I understand both sides. Can we agree this is a college football issue? It's not a Notre Dame and it's not a USC issue.
Well, as a fan, naturally, you know, whether you as a Notre Dame fan, me as an SC fan, naturally we want to point fingers, right? That's how fandoms work. That's how rivalries work. But you're correct. This is not an us versus them situation. This is the world of college football as we know it now. It's no longer about longstanding rivalries. It's no longer about tradition. It's about the ability to make money and the ability to put your team's interests and your sports interests, your program's interests, ahead of everything else. So I don't blame Notre Dame for looking out for themselves, and I don't blame USC for looking out for themselves. I don't. I mean, and, you know, I'm disappointed that the rivalry will go away for a few years, but frankly, I'm more disappointed in just the state of college football as a whole right now. You know, earlier today we had the famous Idaho Potato Bowl featuring two teams that just scream mediocrity. And over the last week and a half now, we've had the Gasparilla Bowl and the Buckle Up LA Bowl and the other 94 bowl games that I didn't even know still existed and shouldn't exist in a perfect world anyway, because why are we promoting mediocrity and most of these kids that are on these teams still without having gone to the transfer portal because they haven't figured out yet that they can get on NIL money or they can't get on with another team because they're not getting enough NIL money. Look, the state of college sports is a disaster right now, and there's no way out of it because once you opened that Pandora's box, Jordan, of the NIL money, once you opened that door, I'm sitting here watching replay of the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, and the stands are literally two-thirds empty, okay? Because nobody in their right mind wants to spend the money to watch programs that are basically just trying to be mediocre to get an extra couple of dollars in what is essentially a glorified exhibition game. And unfortunately, we're going to see more of that as this myriad college football allows itself to just turn itself into a skeleton of what it used to be. The college football playoff is a disaster. I'm sorry. Can you please tell me in a perfect world where James Madison and Tulane belong anywhere near something called a national football playoff? In a perfect world, we all know that's not a real thing. And I'm sorry, but it's just the Notre Dame USC thing is just one more example of how ridiculous college football has become.
Yeah, I think it's the greatest sport in the country. I love it. I look forward to it every year, but I can't argue with anything that you just said a moment ago. And let me make a reference to another sport that I absolutely love, and that's boxing, who once again hit a low point on Friday night when we had to watch Jake Paul go up against Anthony Joshua. There's irrelevance in the sport of boxing, right? And for anyone who thinks that putting G5s in the college football playoffs, if you believe that's the right move, if you believe that we have to hang on to these bowl games, not only do I encourage you to take a look at the stands for the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, take a look at the stands for the Oregon-James Madison game. Take a look at the stands for the Ole Miss-Tulane game. It was like $30 to get into those games. We're talking about the college football playoff. Okay? So if you want to get away from the four-team playoff, which I had no problem with, if you want to get away from the BCS National Championship, which just took the top two teams, and a computer determined it, not human beings, who had the tendency to screw up most things when it comes to sports, be it at the middle school level all the way to the college level, human beings have this knack for screwing up sports, right? That's what they do. So if you want to get away from that, at least give us the 12 best teams in the country, because college football was semi-irrelevant over the weekend, so irrelevant that outside of the Alabama, Oklahoma, Miami, Texas A&M game, the hot topic was still Notre Dame, a team that did not get into the playoffs. Another hot topic was BYU and Georgia Tech, who were playing in the Pop-Tart Bowl because their uniforms look cute. That's how irrelevant the final two games of the college football playoff were over the weekend, and that's a huge problem for a sport that is a money-making machine. And they are now in an era that fans wanted for decades, and that was a true playoff. Congratulations, college football. You did it to yourself, and now we're losing intersectional rivalries.
And now we're seeing the flip side of the NIL money. We're seeing now that coaches, shockingly, because this didn't exist before, right, where coaches didn't have the loyalty to a program. We've seen it over and over again. But then we act all shocked and dismayed and bothered and perturbed when Lane Kiffin does what Lane Kiffin was always going to do, which was leave another university to go to another university, because we've seen this program over and over. It's like when you binge watch The Office and you think, oh wow, I don't remember that in this episode. Yes, you do, because you watched it a week ago. It's the same thing with Lane Kiffin. He did this to himself, because college football allows these coaches to do this. There is no loyalty, whether you're a player, whether you're a coach, whether you're an administrator. My God, the University of North Carolina today, Jordan, announced that Bobby Petrino is going to join the staff of Bill Belichick at North Carolina. Can you think of two more deplorable human beings to represent a college football program? Not just a football team, but a college program. Not just a football team, but an athletic program, an athletic department. Then Bill Belichick with his 24-year-old girlfriend, and Bobby Petrino, who ended his run at the University of Arkansas by getting onto a motorcycle with a 24-year-old intern drunk while cheating on his wife. Well done, North Carolina. Way to keep yourself relevant.
Yeah, I think the only way you can make that more ridiculous is replace Bill Belichick with Sharon Moore, who we'll talk about in a moment. But, you know, and I hate to make light of that, by the way, but
It should be. Because you mean to tell me that 2 years removed from the biggest sign-stealing scandal in college football, you didn't vet this guy?
Sure.
You mean to tell me you didn't vet this guy? That you went out of your way to be like, well, let's take a look at some things in his personal life. Because I'm sorry, every job you apply for, Jordan, every job you get, you go through a vetting process. And if you don't, then they get what they deserve as your employer. You mean to tell me that nobody at the University of Michigan, having gone through that sign-stealing scandal, that nobody in that athletic department said, are we sure he's the guy? Let's make sure, because we don't want to go through this all over again. Now, this, as it turns out with Sherrone Moore, is a completely different set of scandal than what had gone on under the previous administration, but it's still a horrible look.
Yes. Yes. In fact, it may be the worst look in the history of college football. I know that what's going on right now in North Carolina with Bill Belichick, it doesn't look great. Okay, but the fact of the matter is, history, 20 years from now, this is going to be a footnote in the career of Bill Belichick.
No, I agree. I agree. It's a footnote.
It's a footnote.
You're right. The Michigan thing I would put on the same level as the Penn State scandal. Okay? It's the same horrific, how did you let this go on for so many years? How did this happen? How did nobody pay attention? It's the same degree of horror.
Yeah, and I think we could allude to another Big Ten program. Remember when Ohio State was just in a mess under Jim Tressel? Remember that?
Oh, the tattoos and all the gifting that was going on. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bad deal, but for some reason we have forgotten about that. And I have to believe that the reason why we have forgotten about that, right, wrong, or indifferent, is that it was the players that were making these shrewd and outlandish moves. And, it's the same thing with USC. Maybe Pete Carroll knew what was going on. I believe he did when he was leading USC.
No question he knew what he was doing.
Okay, he did, right?
I love my university, but there isn't a doubt in my mind he knew exactly what was coming.
Okay, and I agree with that. I agree with that. And you could say the same thing with Ohio State, but the bottom line is, it was the players that were committing the wrongdoings, right? It wasn't the coaches. They may have had knowledge of it. They may have known that it was going on, but they simply could play dumb, turn their head. You couldn't do that at Penn State because it was a coach that was committing the heinous crime. You can't do that at Michigan because it's a coach that's committing the heinous crime. So I've had people say this kind of stuff goes away. It tends to go away when it's the players that are committing the infractions, when the coaches are partaking in it, and you know that the university is turning the head, that's when things get bad beyond repair, and that's where we're at with Michigan, the same place we were at with Penn State, which, by the way, I still tip my hat to Bill O'Brien, who is having a heck of a time right now at Boston College, but he was able to direct that program into the right direction. And I go back to what I have said several times. You need a man of high character to get you out of this situation. You fans don't want to hear it, but it's Kyle Whittingham, because right now what's happening in Michigan, it's atrocious. It is the worst thing we've seen since Penn State.
It is the worst thing. And, you brought up when it was players that were committing the wrongful acts, when it was the USC safety who jumped out of a second floor window because he didn't want to get caught with a girl, when it was the Notre Dame player who busted into the donut shop, right? We giggled about those things because they were giggle-worthy. But this is not giggle-worthy. These are adults. These are adults who you as a parent, you as a booster, you as a sponsor, you as an administrator, you're entrusting these adults with these players, these young players, and you are failing at every level. And again, it's not even the illegal acts that I'm worried about, but when you knew if you're LSU, you knew if you're Ole Miss, you knew full well who Lane Kiffin was. You knew who he was, and you hired him anyway. And now you act surprised, and you're mad, and you're irritated, and you're offended when he says that he wants to coach the team through the college football playoffs. They would have been embarrassed. They should be embarrassed that Lincoln was even hired by that university in the first place, because you knew full well. You knew who he was. He was the same way when he was at USC, when he was rightfully fired on the tarmac after losing to Arizona State. He's the same guy. and you hired him anyway. And I don't blame him. I don't blame Lane Kiffin one bit for doing what he did. I blame Ole Miss for hiring him in the first place.
I don't know why Ole Miss is angry. The College Football Committee basically said they were better without Lane Kiffin than they were with him, and they moved him up in the rankings so they could get Tulane in the opening round. By all indications, they're better without Lane Kiffin. At least that's what a group of incompetent men who watch college football determined in the final rankings. What are they so mad about?
Because I think it's more of an embarrassment factor than anything else, because I think they expected Lane Kiffin to do opposite what Lane Kiffin has done, will do again, and did this and did to Ole Miss. He's going to do it, and I guarantee you, if things don't go well at LSU in 2 or 3 years, he'll be somewhere else.
Well, here's the thing though that people have got to remember with college football coaches, and I'm gonna make a reference to Notre Dame right now, because where there's smoke, there is fire. And according to reports, Marcus Freeman is one of the leading candidates to get the New York Giants job. Okay, there are two kinds of coaches in this world, those who have been fired and those who have not been fired yet. The reason why Nick Saban was so comfortable when he went back to Alabama was not because Alabama was winning national championships year after year. It was because Nick Saban had been around the block. He had coached at Michigan State. He had coached at LSU. He made the jump from college football to the NFL. And while it was not a train wreck, I think that history is wrong on this, saying that Nick Saban failed miserably in the NFL. He did not fail miserably. They were competitive. The Dolphins were competitive under Saban. But by the time Saban had come back to college, he understood what security looked like, and he was in control of his own destiny at Alabama. But it took years and years and years for who I say is the greatest football coach of all time and Nick Saban to understand what that type of security looked like. Okay, so that's why if Marcus Freeman leaves Notre Dame, I'm not going to hold it against him. However, Lane Kiffin should know better, because like Nick Saban, Kiffin's been around the block a time or two, Steve.
But Kiffin did know better. Kiffin did know better. Ole Miss didn't know better. Ole Miss decided we're going to put our eggs in this basket. We know what he's done before, but surely Lane Kiffin's not going to do it again. Really?
Yeah.
Like, who in their right mind thinks that way?
It's hard to argue. No, it's hard to argue. And like I said, I don't know what they're upset about. I don't understand it, because the committee obviously thinks they're better without him.
They're upset because they got egg on their face.
Well,
they're upset because they went all in on someone who did not deserve to get the all in treatment. Right? There are coaches who deserve the all in treatment. You mentioned Saban a moment ago, right? There are coaches in college football, whether it's in the last 20 years, 30 years, whatever it may be, who deserved that kind of all in treatment. Lane Kiffin was never that guy. Ed Orgeron might have been that guy. What did Ed Orgeron do, whether he was when he was in the SEC and when he was at USC? What did he do wrong other than not win big games?
Well, you can't even say he won a national championship.
Okay, but where is he now?
Well, sitting at home watching like you and I.
Okay, but what did he? And how is that possible? He didn't do anything wrong at USC. He just didn't look like the USC coach.
Correct.
He didn't look like Pete Carroll.
Yes.
He didn't look like Lincoln Riley.
Yes.
He didn't talk like them.
Yes. Yes, it was an image deal. Correct.
That's what college football is now. College football is all about image. It's in the name. Name, image, likeness. That's what it is now. It's no longer a product. It's no longer an athletic product. It's who looks good. It's who can make us money. Who can we sell? How can we market them better? Lane Kiffin's that guy. Ed Orgeron, some gruff-talking southerner, he's not that guy because he's a fat guy. Who was the former Kansas coach?
Yeah, Mark Mangino. That's who I was going to bring up, was Mark Mangino.
Try to put Mark Mangino now on a Big Ten stage. How's that going to go?
This is a guy that in 2007 went 12-1 and won the Orange Bowl at Kansas.
Yeah, where is he now?
He hasn't coached since Kansas let him go in 2009. He never got another job.
There you go. And that's 10 years plus before we ever heard the letters NIL put together in a set.
Yeah. Well, and going back to what you're saying about the image, I think you just got to look at Deion Sanders, right? Where we are,
right.
We are literally, this guy is doing commercials with Nick Saban.
Yeah.
And when you look at what Deion Sanders has accomplished as a coach, what is it? What has he accomplished?
Nothing.
What is he? Yeah. So I think you nailed it with NIL and the idea that it goes beyond just the players. It's the coaches as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is an absolute, this is what college football wanted, though. Remember, when the NCAA decided we're going to back off, we're going to let the NIL thing out, this is what they wanted. This is precisely the world they envisioned for themselves right now. So that's why you get a Deion Sanders. That's why you get a Bill Belichick, because Bill Belichick wasn't brought in because of his extensive knowledge of college football. He was brought in because he's Bill Belichick.
Yeah, yeah, it was... The idea of being recognized for
image.
A situation, correct.
It was his name,
yep.
And it was his image. Two of the three. He fit the bill in both of those.
He is Steve Bordstein. Always kind enough to join us, Steve. I know we had so much more to get into, but we have already ran long on this segment. So, unfortunately, we have to cut it short. Before I let you go, let's talk about where we can find more of you.
Right now, covering the world of high school and college sports for the Tri-City Record newspaper in Northwest New Mexico. We're getting ready for the Rate Bowl, which I didn't even know existed until a week ago, featuring the UNM Lobos against the University of Minnesota. That's coming up out in Phoenix this weekend, so we're looking forward to that. You can check out my work at the Tri-City Record newspaper. The website is Tri-City Record NM for New Mexico, tricityrecordnm.com, and you can find my work over there.
Steve, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Fight on.
In 2030, we'll see you there.
Thanks for the time.